I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Hello, I'm Kathy Connect, asking you to re-elect my husband, Ron Connect, as Nevada Comptroller. Ron cut spending 13% and returned over $1 million to the state treasury while improving services. He led the fight against the commerce tax. Ron wants to be re-elected to help leave all Nevada's children the same legacy of hope, growth, and opportunity our parents' generation left for us. Thank you for listening, and please re-elect Ron Connect as Nevada Comptroller.
Paid for by the committee to elect Ron Connect.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin
Wall. Election Eve. It's the closing arguments before Election Day tomorrow. Want to remind you that Adam Laxalt is going to have a rally at his Laxalt field office 5:30 this afternoon. The address, 7395 Pecos. So if you want to go by and see our next governor, I'm sure he'd love to meet you. Adam Laxalt field office, 5:30 this afternoon, 7395 Pecos. Joining us, and I'm always glad to have her on, this is the first time back in studio after an extended stay in Incline Village. I'm so happy to have her. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, and Red Wave America PAC joining us in studio. Good to have you back. You're looking great.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
Talk a little bit about... the race coming up, and we obviously, there are predictions of a blue wave, a red wave. I happen to think there may be no wave at all, and that we all might win something. Don't know if we win all the constitutional offices. What is your feel? You've been in Northern Nevada over the course of the last few months. Tell me what you're hearing up there.
If people come out and vote, we win. And that is so important. It's the get out the vote effort that Adam Laxalt and others are making across this state. It's like Jim Marchant is making in his district, Linda Cannon in her district. And nationally, when you look, we have a lot of incumbent Democrats, specifically in the Senate, that have a high probability of losing this election. That would be Claire McCaskill in Missouri against Josh Hawley. That would be North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp. And also perhaps Debbie Stabenow, because John James up in Michigan is surging late in the polls. We've uncovered a lot of frauds during this campaign, specifically James O'Keefe at Project Veritas saying, well, the moderate Democrats like Claire McCaskill, like quote-unquote Beto O'Rourke, like Andrew Gillum, like Stacey Abrams, have revealed themselves on hidden cameras or microphones or their campaign staff, admitting to the fact that they're nothing but frauds when they're campaigning as moderate Democrats. They're just as radical as Maxine Waters and the leader like Tom Perez and radical like Keith Ellison and radical like Kamala Harris and radical like Nancy Pelosi. We are up against the radical left. This is not your Fathers or JFK's moderate Democrat Party. Please tell me where the moderate Democrats are and what. How do you moderate? What's a moderate against a socialist uprising in the Democrat Party? We cannot forget that Tom Perez told us that the future of the Democrats is socialism, specifically with Andrea Cortez Castro, or whatever her name is. And then
Ocasio-Del Cortez,
you know, that Einstein, that socialist Einstein from New York. They all want, Bernie Sanders, they all want a single-payer health care, which is really interesting because I thought Obamacare was supposed to fix everybody's health care. And instead, what it did was ruin it, as they knew it would. And what Obamacare did was simply pave the way for their new government machination, which is single-payer health care. And so we have these radicals that want single-payer health care, which will destroy Medicare. It's not Medicare for all. It destroys Medicare. And then they want open borders. And how do we know they want open borders? Well, the vice chair of the Democrat Party, Keith Ellison, was caught walking in a parade very proudly wearing a, you know, Sin Fronteras T-shirt, which is a no borders T-shirt. It's a social justice George Soros operation, basically funded by other leftists like George. Out of Chicago, and they are also funding this caravan, which I call the Cloward-Piven caravan, which is closing in on our southern border, violating the laws of Mexico and hell-bent on violating our laws. And this is what the Democrats want. If we elect Democrats, we will have higher taxes. If we elect Democrats, we will have open borders. If we elect Democrats, we will have caravans upon caravans storming into our country, into every sanctuary city they can find or state in order to, quote unquote, disappear into the shadows. And so I think that the American people, a majority of the American people, aren't mobs that the Democrats pay for. A majority of American people are representative here, like the hardworking people in Nevada. We want to be left alone. We want the government out of our everyday lives. We want lower taxes, and we embrace capitalism, and we reject socialism each and every time.
I want to ask you about early voting. We promoted on this show early voting all across the state, and what we're finding is people turned out in Mineral County, 906 of 2,800 registered voters have already voted. That's 32%. Lander County, 54% early voted. Nye County, 12,200 of 30,000 have already voted. 12,000 out of 30,000 have already voted in Nye County. What do you make of this? These folks aren't voting for Jackie Rosen. They're not voting for Steve Sisolak, are they?
No, because predominantly those counties are red counties, unlike Clark County. So what you'd have to extrapolate then from those numbers is that we have a red wave momentum in early voting, which is so incredibly important. And I have always thought that mostly registered Republicans, independents, and we tend to vote on Election Day. Now, I voted early for the first time this year, and I'm glad I did, because I posted on Facebook that I showed up at the polls, I don't know, mid-afternoon sometime, and I asked one of the poll workers when the poll closes. And he goes, well, they don't really. And I said, what are you talking about? Was this like a drive-through restaurant? Like, what do you mean they don't close? He goes, well, technically, you know, like around 8 o'clock, but if there are cars in the parking lot, we got to stay open because these people might want to come vote. So if people are coming, I go, well, how do you know they're coming? How do you know people are coming? Well, we're in a shopping center. So if someone has their car parked in the parking lot, we, you know, they might want to vote. And I'm thinking, that's not really how it works, pal.
Well, and by the way, we had information Friday night at the Don Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Danny Tarkanian rally at Stoney's. They announced that apparently some of the polls were going to stay open until midnight.
Well, yeah, and that would be just like a replay of 2016 when Cardenas Market stayed open till I think 1 or 2 in the morning. Because as long as there's people in line, they're supposedly supposed to stay open. It's not the last person in line at 8 o'clock that gets to vote. Supposedly, if there's a line, you can just keep building the line. And this is how the Democrats get away with early voting turns into late voting. It turns into 24-hour voting. And so here we have, so I knew after I spoke to the volunteer at the line. I said, I need to speak to probably an observer or, you know, somebody in charge of this racket. And so as I was leaving, I noticed three observers, and I asked the same question. And I said, hey, guys, when do the polls close? And this one guy responded with finger air quotes, well, technically, 8 o'clock. And I said, well, why don't you define technically for me? And he goes into this long diatribe, similar to what I just heard the volunteer tell me, that, you know, if there's cars in the parking lot, now, mind you, this is a huge shopping center.
Of course there will be
cars in the parking lot. And so then one guy pops up and he goes, yeah, but we have a hard stop at midnight. And I said, oh, really? Who decided that midnight was the hard stop, and who gave that order? And he said, well, the county registrar.
Joe Gloria.
Correct. And I said, well, that's interesting to note. I said, what if a bus comes here at 11:59? And one guy says, well, we're really hoping that that doesn't happen. And I said, well, because another one could follow at 12:05, and then another one could follow at 12:15. And you see how this goes. I mean, you could be here all night. Yeah, I guess that really could happen, they said. And with that, I immediately called a Nevada assemblyman, told him what I found, and that poll was closed by no later than 9 o'clock.
Wow. Wow.
And see, and here's
can you tell us who the member of the assembly is?
Sure, Jim Marchant.
Rising star.
Yep.
I love
it. And he is all about election integrity, and this is something that we have to reject with question five. The Nevadans need to say no, hell no. We are not going to vote yes on question five. We're going to say hell no on question five, because that will turn us into Eastern California faster than anything, because what it will do is continue to dirty the voter rolls. Even Joe Gloria told, I believe, Jim Marchant that he didn't want it because he didn't have the bureaucracy in place to make it happen. And see, and that's all it's going to be. It's just more taxes because we have to pay for the new bureaucracy and all the new equipment to supposedly handle this. But outside of that, it's automatic voter registration. And we already know that we are not requiring, like, La Familia Vota and the SEIU and the Culinary Union 226. We already know that we don't require them to ask for proof of citizenship when they register voters. We also know that we have illegal aliens that get driver's licenses 16 ways to Sunday. Thank you very much, Republicans, for that one. As well as the Democrats. And so this is how California turned their state into a permanent blue state, was to automatic voter registration. So say no to question five.
It's interesting. In fact, I was looking for the culinary people put out a big release over the weekend. And they were actually bragging. The Culinary Union, the largest affiliate of Unite Here, and one of the strongest political forces in the state, is mobilizing workers and immigrant voters to elect people who will fight for our families. They've already registered 10,300 culinary workers and their families to vote since the last presidential election, and helped over six. Now this is where I think it's interesting. Helped over 650 immigrants become American citizens. And that means Democrat and union voters.
It's a racket.
Well, and we've got Tom Steyer, who's promising, he promised to spend $2 million in this state to get Jackie Rosen elected. What is going on out there? We got all this outside money. We got Jane Fonda raising money. I mean, everybody and their brother is from out of state is trying to influence our elections. How do we stop these people?
At the ballot box. At the ballot box. Each and every election at the ballot box. How we can also stop these people, well, we could build a wall, I guess, between Nevada and California and make it a little bit easier for them not to be able to get in here. But outside of that, I would have to put pressure on the Secretary of State in order to clean up our voter rolls, and they can do that by simply demanding citizenship for registration. You must be a citizen in order to register to vote. 44 states do not require that, 46 states don't require that. We could lead the way. We could use Alabama as an example of election integrity. They have very good laws. We could use Texas as an example, which was just upheld by a federal judge. So when there's political will, to restore election integrity, and I hope Wes Duncan is listening, because he can have an influential role in maintaining that our voter rolls in Nevada are clean and only populated with citizen-registered voters.
Megan Barth joining us from ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com. Do we owe you a break? We're running way late.
Ooh.
Stick around. More with Megan Barth. Also with Red Wave America. And by the way, they are a brand new pack that you've got to know about. They have been big time impactful in Texas, where they've got quite a Senate race going on. Robert Francis calls himself Beto O'Rourke. He's Irish, for crying out loud. He's running against Ted Cruz. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
My fellow Nevadans, the annual fiscal burden on Nevada taxpayers caused by illegal immigrants is more than $630 million a year. I'm Joel Hanson, candidate for Attorney General. As your Attorney General, I will direct Nevada law enforcement agencies to report all illegal immigrants they encounter to ICE, and I'll vigorously prosecute any who commit violent crimes. Nevada must not become a sanctuary state. Please visit my website at votejoelhanson.com.
Paid for by friends of Joel Hanson.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
Adam Laxalt's first decision when he decided to run for governor of Nevada was to choose Michael Roberson as his running mate. The same Michael Roberson who destroyed the Republican majority in 2016 when he jammed through the largest tax increase in our state's history, $1.3 billion. The same Michael Roberson who wrote Senate Bill 303, which gave driver's license to illegal aliens. The same Michael Roberson who refused to pass campus carry gun laws. How could Adam Laxalt choose that rival Michael Roberson as his running mate? Paid for by the Ryan Bundy for Governor campaign.
Nevada conservatives lost a good friend when Republican Assembly District 36 candidate Dennis Hoff shockingly passed away just 3 weeks before the election. But Dennis's name will still be on the ballot, and it's important for you to vote for him so a Republican can be appointed to fill his term. Also, please join us for a Celebration of Life Memorial Service in Dennis's honor on Friday, November 16th at 6 p.m. at the Pahrump Nugget. For more information, go to keep36red.com. That's keep36red.com. Paid for by Friends of Hoff.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Kevin Wall, Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, and Red Wave America PAC joining us. You guys put up billboards down in Texas.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about the Ted Cruz thing?
Well, I just read an interesting story right before I came in, and I can't remember who published it, but it was basically like Beto's done, and it was from a periodical that I didn't really think would kind of take that position, one of the left-wing media articles.
Ooh.
In saying that, you know, for a guy that had kind of this rock star sensationalism, the next JFK-esque type of Democrat who pretended to be a moderate, too much exposed himself later on in the campaign to be a radical that he is. His campaign was exposed to providing transportation as well as campaign funds for the caravan in the form of supplies and what have you. And then, of course, he was a sponsor. He had Bernie Sanders come in, and he's a Medicare for all, typical Democrat. And so
that will not play well in Texas.
No. So open borders and Medicare for all is not going to play well in Texas. And so right now, I believe the last poll was down. He was down 6%, I think, is the last poll I saw. And so outside of the margin of error, and even though Ted Cruz, you know, is not enormously popular, he only polled, I don't even think he got 50%, he's still going to pull away with this one.
Okay. In the final minute, give me your crystal ball look at what happens tomorrow. Is it blue wave, red wave, or no wave?
I think it's going to be a red wave in the Senate, but I think that the House is also still up for grabs. I mean, for them to take the majority, I think it's a little over 20 seats they need. And there's a good handful of seats that aren't determined. It's still within the margin of error. If California delivers Nancy Pelosi the gavel, that's where it's going to come from. And so she'd probably have to get everything that she needs in California in order to get that gavel back. And that's not guaranteed because there are some candidates, specifically in CA-54, that might have a huge upset. He's the first Muslim Republican candidate that's running.
And we understand John Cox is running well in the gubernatorial race. If the Democrats win control of the House, is Nancy Pelosi the Speaker or is it somebody else?
No, she'll be the Speaker. She'll be the Speaker.
There'll be a bloodbath.
Yeah, but, you know, the socialists will be like, well, she's not socialist enough. But she'll create the chaos that the Democrats typically need to create. You know, she will go after Trump in multiple investigations. They may try impeachment, but she's not a big fan of it. But Maxine Waters will be a chair of the Financial Services Committee.
Scary. I've been having bad dreams. I've been having bad dreams about that. If folks want to reach out to you before, during, or after the election, how do they find you?
ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, and RedWave.vote.
And you're off to D.C. tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
I just love it.
Yeah.
You are everywhere.
Got to stir it up.
You are. She's stirring it up, and she's going directly to the swamp. I just can't believe it. Stick around. Michael Schaus from Nevada Policy will join us. We'll find out what he thinks about tomorrow. It's a think tank, and we're going to do some thinking. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.
Kevin 90, Las Vegas, and 98.1, Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is election eve. Yeah, it's down to closing arguments. The president at noon
will begin a three-city tour. He will begin in Cleveland, Ohio at noon, our time. Then at 3:30, he'll be at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne. I broadcast hockey games out of there.
Oh.
Believe it or not. Yeah. The Show Me Center in Cape Girardeau at 7 o'clock Pacific time. So three events closing out the campaign, and no better guy to have to analyze what's going on out there than our friend Michael Schaus, the Communications Director for Nevada Policy, better known as Nevada Policy Research Institute, or NPRI. Where are we on that? Have we decided on one final?
Yeah, the official name is Nevada Policy Research Institute. So good, folks can just call us. You know, if you want to shorten it to Nevada Policy, do it. NPRI. Obviously, a lot of folks already know us. So, whatever makes sense.
What is your sense of what's going on out there? We know early voting. I was giving some early voting numbers earlier, and it was Mineral County. 32% have early voted. Lander County, 54% have early voted. Nye County, 12,283 early and absentee votes out of 30,000. So not quite half, maybe 40% in Nye County. First of all, what do you make of this early voting deal?
Well, it seems like people are excited. People certainly seem eager to go and show up, and which is good. It's weird, though, because we still treat Election Day as actual Election Day. And we don't have an Election Day anymore. We have election weeks or election month or what have you. So it's interesting from the perspective of it changes the way that campaigns really have to move. It changes the way that campaigns have to do their outreach. It is encouraging to see that apparently campaigns have figured out how to actually get people out there and vote early, because that means that they have got a sustained ground game for getting people to show up at the polls.
Okay, Republicans have traditionally been the vote on Election Day folks.
Yes.
The Democrats were first to the early voting. They run up big leads, and then everybody votes, and they get wiped out. I'm curious, do you have a sense of who's, like, especially in the rurals, who is voting here?
Yeah, I mean, in the rural counties, you would expect that to be largely Republican. I mean, we've got a lot of Republican-leaning counties out there. It's just really going to come down to how motivated. I think Republicans are motivated. Whether you're talking about the rural areas or you're talking about the more urban centers such as Las Vegas, I think Republicans are motivated this year. The question is, how motivated are the Democrats? Because they do outnumber the Republicans. That's the mathematical, calculus of this state. Republicans are outnumbered by Democrats. So it really boils down to who gets the vote out better. And the early indications show, like usual, there were more Democrats in total that showed up. I don't know that that's true out in the rurals.
I want to ask you because, Dean Heller, it's not often that a candidate admits this, but Dean Heller admitted that he's being outspent 4-1.
Oh, yeah.
In his race with Jackie Rosen. And I know that there is a law of diminishing return where you can run so many ads, and eventually, if you run an extra 1,000 ads, it doesn't matter either way, that people are just overrun by these ads. Every other ad you see on TV is a Jackie Rosen. Dean Heller lied. He went back on a promise. What do you make, because people have been asking, it's going to be a red wave, green, is it going to be a blue wave? And a lot of people have come up with this thing, it's going to be a green wave, that they're spending so much money. Susie Lee's spending a gazillions of dollars. Third parties are going after Danny Tarkanian. Is there going to be a green wave or is it a red or blue wave?
Well, we definitely do have a lot of cash coming in. And one of the best examples of how cash can change the conversation is you look at question 3, for example. That passed very overwhelmingly a couple years ago.
70%, something like that.
Yeah, and now it looks like it's going to be a very tight race. It might even, question 3 might even, voters might vote it down. Why? What's changed? Oh, all of a sudden there's an actual opposition campaign that's spending money for it. But to your point, there is a limit, a point of diminishing returns, and that's made evident by the 2016 presidential election. I always hear people on the left talk about how money buys politics. Well, Hillary Clinton had all the money in the world coming from all these Democrats who really wanted to keep that seat.
$1.2 billion.
That is mind-boggling. And yet she didn't win. So money alone isn't going to dictate the outcome. What's really going to dictate the outcome, at least in my perspective, is who's getting out there and actually knocking on more doors, who's energizing the people who... We don't really, I hate to say this, you don't want to focus on the people who are already going to vote. You want to focus on the people who may or may not vote. You know, so right now, with tomorrow being election day, both parties, all the candidates should be focusing on those people who have not shown up yet, because that tells me they are not energized enough to get out there yet. You really, really, really want to hit home with them that they have to.
Does it bother you that politicians in this state, mainly Democrats, don't want to debate? Adam Laxalt, Steve Sisolak, they had a debate scheduled, and Sisolak pulled out.
Yeah.
Folks like Jackie Rosen didn't want to debate outside of Clark County.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing of not debating where voters can compare candidates side by side, does that bother you? I mean, maybe I'm old-fashioned on this, but I love the idea of debates where you can sample the fruit side by side, so to speak.
And it's not just the debates. It's also politicians all across the political aisle have been more and more reluctant to talk to media. They've been more and more reluctant to go to certain events or speaking gigs. And that is really concerning to me, because what ends up happening is the voter doesn't get to see these two folks interact. And so all they see are the political advertisements that get bombarded at us, which very few people, I think, legitimately believe. And just to show you that this is a widespread problem, and you and I are not the only ones who are worried about it, I was talking to Rory Reed about it just recently. And this is interesting, because even he's upset about it. You've got people all across the political aisle who are worried about this fact that candidates aren't really engaging with one another, and as a result, people don't really get to see that interaction, and so you're stuck with what I call bumper sticker politics. It's whatever the headline is, you know, Jackie Rosen says X, or Dean Heller says, you know, Y and Z. That's all people have. They never get to see the interaction, never really get to see what that person and that personality is like.
Michael Schaus joining us. He is the communications director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. Do you mind taking some calls?
Oh, absolutely.
This is Election Eve, and it's our wall-to-wall free-for-all, and that means you get to talk about the races. You get to talk about whatever you want. In fact, tell you what, let's do. Let's begin with Charles. Charles, you're up, and you're on Live and Local Now. You're on with Michael Schaus. I'm Kevin Wall. Good morning.
Good morning. Looking at the tactics of the Democrats, and I think that shooting in the temple was to get him back on the reservation, and that's out of Nazi Germany. You got the black Democrat in Florida connected to the PLO and anti-Israel. You got Abrams in Georgia, another anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish person put in there. You got Cortez in Queens. And I see that the Bolshevik Democrats are using Nazi tactics of killing the Jews for political purposes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can get a comment from Michael Schaus.
Well, you know, identity politics is something that's been really big, and it's going to be really big this year. I mean, you can see Democrats looking at certain different groups or demographics and saying, hey, we don't really need to worry about reaching out to these folks. For example, the Hispanic community, which is going to be huge throughout Nevada. I think the Democrats might kind of be taking them for granted. And I say that because you look at the Hispanic community, 75% support things like school choice. There's a great opportunity there for Republicans. I'm just not convinced that Republicans are actually seizing that opportunity right now.
And Trump is, though. I mean, he's definitely 30% approval rating.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's doing it on purpose. But he might not be, just to be honest. Republicans are horrible at seeing those opportunities and seizing on them. And Democrats, likewise, are equally as horrible at realizing they need to work harder to keep these people as part of the party.
Joining us, Michael Schaus. He is communications director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute. It's also our wall-to-wall free-for-all. And if you want to join us, you can. In fact, here's the number, 844, the number 2, Nevada, 844-263-8232. You want to talk about the race. any race tomorrow, both in-state and out-of-state. We've got some incredible Senate races all across the country. We're going to tell you, by the way, when the polls close tomorrow. We're going to start knowing at 3 o'clock Pacific time tomorrow, because there is a House race, critical House race, in Kentucky in the Eastern time zone, where the polls are going to close at 6 o'clock Eastern time. That'll be 3 o'clock our time. We'll get our first returns beginning at 3 o'clock. This is crazy, but it's what's going to be happening. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. That's Michael Shouse. It is the eve of Election Day 2018. We've talked about it for so long. It's here. More to come. Live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
This is James Dean Levitt, and I am running for judge. For the past 35 years as a missionary, lawyer, regent, and candidate for judge, I have dedicated my life to helping young men and women discover their unlimited potential in becoming productive members of society and inspiring them to change and improve their lives. This is why I am running to be the next judge in Justice Court Department 1, and I am humbly asking for your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect James Dean Levitt.
Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message, paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Ron Connect, your Nevada controller, asking for your vote. My team cut spending by 13% and returned over $1 million to the state treasury, all while improving services. I led the fight against the commerce tax, promises made, promises kept. I seek your vote to help leave all Nevada's children the same legacy of hope, growth, and opportunity that our parents and grandparents left us. Thanks for considering me, Ron Connect, paid for by the committee to elect Ron Connect.
Thanksgiving is extra special at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Again this year, Rhythm Kitchen will be open Thanksgiving Day, serving a traditional Cajun Thanksgiving dinner, including fried turkey, fried catfish, and Rhythm Kitchen's world-famous jambalaya. Plus, Cajun stuffing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, a cold salad bar, and of course, Thanksgiving pies. It makes me hungry just thinking about it. Celebrate upstairs in the ballroom, enjoying their Thanksgiving buffet beginning at noon, or downstairs seating starts at 4. Or if you prefer to eat at home, a family-style Thanksgiving dinner is available for takeout with a minimum 24-hour pre-order. Call 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438.
great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. This year, make it a Cajun Thanksgiving at Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Nevada Policy Research Institute is a think tank. But today, Michael Schaus, the communications director for NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute, is not just thinking. He's doing the talking today. And, in fact, we got some callers who want to go on. In fact, let's go to Bob. Bob, you're up and you're on with Michael Schaus from NPRI. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kevin, hopefully you guys are having an awesome day now.
Oh, yeah, we are so far.
When I went, every time I've gone to my doctor this year, and I remember that the Democrats voted 100% for me to make much higher payments. So when I early voted, I definitely had the easiest time of my life voting red. And I hope people remember that when they vote.
Good point. Good point. Do you see much crossover? Do you see the potential? I mean, we've already heard about hashtag walk away,
right,
where people of color, African-Americans in particular, are encouraged to walk away from the Democrats, people that they and their families have voted for decades, just in lockstep with the Democrat Party. Do you look at more of that coming?
I do. I mean, you know, what we said earlier, Democrat Party takes a lot of voting blocks for granted. Take, for example, Chicago, Illinois is a fantastic example of that. They've been voting the same way for how many decades, and they just get in worse and worse shape year after year after year. So I do think that you're going to be seeing more of that, especially if, let's say that the Democrats win the House, they start getting their way on some things. Nobody's really going to feel like things are actually getting better at that point, including the folks that voted for Democrats because they're upset with Donald Trump. So you're going to see more and more people growing frustrated with the party because the party simply cannot deliver on all the promises that it's giving its base.
Let me ask you. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play for you Judge Jeanine from Fox. She gave an opening statement that I thought was the closing argument, if you will, for the GOP coming into the midterm elections. I want you to hear this is Judge Jeanine Saturday night on Fox.
On Tuesday, the issue is simply, do you care about what's getting done or some left-wing wackadoo subjective view about the way it's getting done? The left prefers style over substance. They prefer interpretation over facts, the subjective versus the objective truth and reality. Why? Because they hate him. That we're even having this conversation is ridiculous. The only thing that matters are results. You can certainly have a conversation about how he says things. Okay, I'll give you that. But what makes you right? You're so blinded by hateful vitriol and disappointed by your 2016 loss that you can't see straight. Instead, let's take a moment and look at the facts. It's simply insane. Every metric is up. The economy is through the roof, just like he said it would be. The longest positive growth streak on record. Unemployment at 3.7%, the lowest in almost half a century. GDP as high as 4.2, the strongest consumer confidence in decades. Are you even listening? What this means is if you want to get a job, you can get one. If you're African American, you've never had a better chance to work than now. If you're Hispanic, you've never had a better chance of getting a job. If you're Asian American, it's never been better. If you're a woman, you have a better chance of getting a job than in the last 50 years. If you're a youth, a better chance than in the last 50 years. If you care about a better life so you can pay the rent, pay the mortgage, educate your kids, and maybe even take a vacation, then this is the America you want to live in.
Your thoughts on what Judge Jeanine said on Saturday night?
It's all very good. I think the one thing I would point out is It's much easier for people to get motivated with a bad economy than with a good economy. We take for granted things that are going well. And this is just human psychology. If things are going well, you don't really think about it as much. So with that kind of as a backdrop, yeah, the economy is going great. Yeah, there are a lot of good things out there. Republicans, it's their job to not only reinforce that, but also explain to people the things left over that they still need to fix. So healthcare, for example.
I want to ask you about Ryan Bundy. We're going to have him on the show tomorrow. He is running for governor. He is in the race with Steve Sisolak and Adam Laxalt. We had Adam Laxalt on the program earlier. We have an open invitation to Steve Sisolak. He has chosen not to join us, and that's fine. Just want to let you know that we did reach out. I'm curious what you think about the Bundy effect, in particular in the rurals. Could he be the spoiler? I mean, could he be the 3-5% that keeps, you know, that propels Steve Sisolak to become governor rather than Adam Laxalt? Do you worry about that?
I don't think so. But let's play for a minute that he does have some sort of effect. He's shaving some votes off of Adam Laxalt. A really interesting trend is that the Libertarian candidate seems to be pulling votes from Sisolak right now. So to the extent that Ryan Bundy kind of acts as a spoiler, I think he's probably offset by the Libertarian right now, which is a pretty social Libertarian, so he's pulling more people away from the Democrat Party. It's an interesting dynamic right now.
Okay, let's talk in our final couple of minutes the races. Dean Heller, top of the ticket, running for the for re-election. Obviously Jackie Rosen, nobody really knows much about her because she hasn't done much in her first year, almost 2 years in the House of Representatives. What happens here?
Well, win or lose, Jackie Rosen needs to sit down and really think about what she did wrong in her campaign. And the reason why I say that is because going into this whole thing, my money would have been on Jackie in a heartbeat. You had Dean Heller was not really liked by many people in his own party, or at least they were upset with him. The Trump vote was relatively upset with him. And of course, Democrats were motivated to vote against him. The fact that it's even a close race tells me that a lot of Dean's potential voters understand that they don't want Jackie. So Jackie's got to take a look. Even if she wins, she has to take a look and say, why didn't we win by a whole lot more? That's my take on it. I don't know. It's so close at this point. It's just really hard to predict who's actually going to pull ahead tomorrow.
Does Danny Tarkanian finally move into the victory column in a general election?
It's possible, but it's also been possible for a few times. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's this year especially has been such a weird year for political inside stories. The way that he originally wasn't running for that seat, now he is. That might cause a little bit of trepidation by folks. And you always have the effect where some people want to pull the lever for him and say, I just don't know if he's actually going to win. Is it really worth it? Those are people that are really hard to motivate. Hopefully he's out there doing that. And I think in this year, if there was ever a year for him to motivate those people enough, this would be that year.
Wow. Whatever you do tomorrow, get out and vote. We'll be with you at 9 o'clock. To kind of make sure you get to the polls, okay? Michael, thank you so much, my friend.
Always happy to be here.
Michael Schaus, NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. You're going to be hearing a lot more about them on this radio program all across the state over the course of the next couple of years. That's a promise. Till we join you next time, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day, live and local, now. Hey, Kevin.
Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As attorney general, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th. Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Shouldn't Nevada have a lieutenant governor who is both trustworthy and competent and at least knows what that job is about? Number one, refereeing the conflicts between the Democrats and Republicans. Number two, bringing more tourists to Nevada. Just as no one picks the referee from one of the teams, I, as a nonpartisan, will be fair and objective in breaking tie votes in the Senate. As the only lieutenant governor candidate with international experience, I know how we can double the number of tourists to Nevada. My name is Ed Uhling, paid for by the Friends of